Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Into the 1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Nick Schwert with you. If you missed our earlier conversation with the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo, you will hear that once again coming up at 1:35. We asked him and got his reaction to whether or not the goals have changed at this point. He acknowledged that they are constantly reevaluating where things are at, and obviously not the first 40 games have not gone the way that they had planned on them going. He also gave us an update on Salvador Perez and where his injury status is at this point, as he stays on the IL, on that 10-day IL. So you'll hear that conversation coming up in just a little bit.
If you had requested Limp Bizkit tickets, I have sent them to three random people who had requested them. So check your emails. They are no longer in my possession. I cannot be accused of stealing them for personal gain. I have sent out, and if I have to, send a screenshot to prove that all three were sent out. So if you are interested in that, I have sent them out. They still, I think, have more tickets at the works. So there's still a possibility. I'll ask for more and just keep giving them away.
The same thing applies also if you are someone that is interested in the head and the heart, Every Shade of Blue tour, which is tonight at the Uptown Theater. We had some people asking about that. I have a pair of tickets for that as well.
Oh, so you got some tickets to give away as well.
We'll do
that. Did you check the prices on those? We could have been getting rich.
Not. No, we're giving them to listeners.
Have we clarified that this is above board?
Yeah, because we're giving them away.
What do you mean?
Not selling. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. What do you mean? What's the above board part?
I don't know. We work for a big corporation.
Technically, probably they're like rules and contest rules and things we're supposed to do.
But anyway, if you're interested in...
I, Cody, the individual, received some tickets through work.
Yes.
I, Cody, the individual, decided to give some tickets away.
That's how it works.
I don't see that there's anything wrong with that. I think Gold, the individual, decided maybe he was interested in the head and the heart, decided he was too busy for this to go to the head and heart.
I can't go.
And has now decided to give those tickets away. So I think it's very generous of you.
Yeah, I agree. So a pair of tickets for that, too. And we'll select someone random before we get off the air today. 913-576-7610. You can text in for that. Yeah, don't call in and text in. Nick doesn't want any part of this.
No, do not call me.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, 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 yep.
Nice boobs. Excellent
work.
Okay.
Is that how you talk to women?
Nice boobs. Excellent work.
Excellent work.
That was a sir. You just heard me say this. Please do not flip this on me this quick. Can't you wait a couple of weeks before you throw this in my face? Nice boobs. How do you think it's going to play at my next school board?
It's going to also hurt your candidacy.
Really, it's really respectful.
Okay.
Nice to see you have a very respectful approach towards women.
So now we're doctoring audio again in order to make me look bad.
Doctoring audio?
It's not doctor. This
nice boob.
You said that.
Play everything that preceded that. Everything that was before and after that clip.
Mm-hmm. Cody's excuse for all of this stuff is the equivalent of, you had to be there.
Kind of, yes. I was defending women. I was saying you should compliment them, and Gold saying like, no. You shouldn't compliment women.
That's also not the context at all.
That's exactly how it happened.
It's just, honestly, man, it's disgusting.
Okay. I feel pretty good about it.
I feel weird transitioning from...
Nice boobs.
...to Daniel Snyder.
Well, that's not great.
Wow.
Something he probably did say to someone uncomfortably.
You'd know a little something about that, wouldn't you?
Do not let me in with Dan Snyder. He's an awful person.
He's also rich like you.
And, okay.
More in common than you think.
Wow.
And
starting to draw a lot of parallels.
Not only is he a bad person, he's also using a potential new stadium deal as an attempt to stay in the league. There was a report earlier this week from USA Today that they were essentially straw polling to find out whether or not owners wanted Snyder out. Makes sense. He's gotten in a ton of trouble consistently, and now money, right? Like, money's a problem. So, or, you know, he may have skimmed off the top, whatever it's going to be, so now the league's mad at him. And it just so happens to coincide with a little stadium project leak. Oh, you know, with animations to maybe give an idea of what $3 billion project he's working on. Oh, it would just be the most expensive stadium project in NFL history. You know why? Brings value to the league. I think he's trying to find a way to stay in the league. That's really what it is. In my opinion right now, that's clearly where he's moving.
I think the timing of the article, yeah, what you're saying makes sense. There were rumors for a while, though, that he was trying to get a new stadium because FedEx Field is a dump. We saw the video last year where, like, the part of the stands, like, collapsed. Remember the people were leaning over to get – who I don't know who was – someone's autographed and, like, the stands kind of, like, tilted over. So there's a bad stadium to begin with. But, yes, this is probably one of his last plays because, again, all the – other sexual harassment allegations and other things that have prompted also the, you know, Congress to investigate, which is going on right now. When it's come out that he may have stolen money from other NFL owners, that'll get you kicked out. That's, you know, you would like to think that all the other things would have done it, but stealing from the other rich owners in the league, that'll get their attention. That'll get their attention. It only needs to get the attention.
Did get their attention.
And it only needs to get the attention of 24 owners in the NFL to actually kick him out of the league. And the report is that they're at least taking some straw polls and voting and getting an idea of how many votes they might have and who's on board and who's still going to defend Dan Snyder. It'll be very interesting to see how this plays out over the next couple of months.
I still think he's out. Do you lean one way or the other yet? I still think there's too much smoke, too many things, too many times he's been accused of stuff that he's gone.
More than ever, I think he's going to get pushed out, but not because, unfortunately, it's not even the Congress investigation right now. It's once it came out that he was allegedly hiding revenue from ticket sales, which is supposed to be split across other teams, therefore other owners' pocketbooks, that is a whole different ballgame. That catches their attention. That will get you kicked out. So if he gets kicked out, it's going to be more for that than anything else.
But of course, because the NFL owners know that they've got their own dirty little secrets that they don't want to be the reason that they have to sell their NFL franchise, which is why they've protected Snyder for this long. But you can't keep doing it. For all the guys who've gotten in trouble, like, look, Kroenke's probably not the most popular guy in NFL owners' locker rooms because they had its big lawsuit, and then he was threatening to sue them because they weren't going to help him with his lawsuit to pay out hundreds of millions of dollars or $1 billion to the city of St. Louis. He probably doesn't have all the fans. But just as long as you keep your head down, keep quiet, and shut up, moving forward, it's not going to be a problem, especially because his team just won the Super Bowl and is going to bring extra revenue with all of the big stadium stuff. I really think that that's what Snyder's attempting here.
There's also a little update on this, actually, as we're talking about. Just a few minutes ago, the Washington Post just came out with some more information that some NFL owners would favor a significant suspension of Daniel Snyder by the NFL, depending on the results of the Mary Jo White, that's who conducting the investigation. Several owners say they're aware of no effort to canvass votes regarding any potential attempt to remove Snyder. So there's some conflicting information, but also they may go, they kind of half-ass it. They may say, well, we're going to suspend him for a significant portion of time.
What the hell does suspending an owner do?
It's the same thing when happened with Robert Kraft.
Absolutely nothing, right?
The whole massage stuff down in Florida? Robert Kraft got suspended. And it's like, okay, yeah, what big deal? The owner, what, he can't go to the stadium for the 6 games? Oh, no. He's going to sit at his mansion instead and watch the game. Oh, no. Oh, he's going to get fined $1 million? Oh, no. He's worth $1 billion? Like, yeah, suspending an NFL owner does nothing. I'm with you there. So we'll see. But those are the options being weighed.
You take a little bit of money from someone worth billions of dollars does not mean anything. Oh, no, he can't have his hand on the team. That would actually help them. That would help the Commanders. If Daniel Snyder had to be a silent partner, like he wasn't allowed to have any business in the operation of the team for a year, the Commanders would be better off.
The problem is some of it's been going on a little bit where he's been absent, and I believe his wife has been handling a lot of the things. Because her husband's not allowed to do some things right now already. last season during or with the investigation, but yet she's still around, allowed to be around, my understanding. So that doesn't work either. You need to suspend them both. Like the you know what I'm saying? You suspend him, but let his wife still operate things. That's also not really a suspension.
It's got to be the entire family. It can't be his kid, his cousin. It's got to be an independent business partner or an independent,
So we'll see.
You can't just let somebody close to him. What do you think? His kid, right? Let's say it's his kid. You think his kid's going to come home and not tell him what's going on with the operation of the business? That's not how any of this should work. He should just have to go away, which is why this is useless. No matter who the person who takes it in, unless it's a person assigned by a third-party entity, which is not how the NFL operates, they're just going to allow them to let, league president or whatever, team president do it instead. It doesn't make any sense.
Dan Snyder's worth $4 billion. In 1999, he bought the Washington Commanders for $750 million. He borrowed $350 to do it, and he's now worth $4.2 billion.
And the team is probably worth... Two and a half.
$4 billion
for the Broncos? Is that what the estimate was?
Yeah, it's not. The Broncos aren't sold yet, but it's going to be higher than that.
But I thought that was the most recent estimate I saw.
Oh, I just mean higher for the Wash. I think the Washington football team would be just because of if they're going to get a new stadium along with it.
Well, I guess in that the estimated sale price right now for the Broncos is $5 billion. dollars.
That's insane.
$5 billion.
Makes sense though. The NFL, the revenue streams are not going away anytime soon.
Imagine the Hunts. Like, what do they spend on the Chiefs?
Oh, well, that's big.
$4 billion, and they spent what? A few hundred thousand dollars, $1 million buying the Chiefs back a day? Talk about appreciation. Now you have to sell it in order to recoup that full appreciation, but also you didn't have to spend anything to get it.
What do you do once you're an owner? Do you have to spend any money on the team?
There's a cash
Not
element.
Really.
There's a cash element, which was why.
But that's got to be the only business
the Hunts have
where you don't have to actively spend money on it.
But it's so.
Am I stoned right now, or does that make no sense?
What do you mean? Remember when?
What kind of business do you actively not have to lose any? Like, it's impossible to lose money.
Yes.
Amazon, pretty much now. Like, I mean, if you just took that over, you wouldn't have to spend any money. You would just turn profit over and over.
You don't think Jeff Bezos has to reach in his pocket?
He probably has to less even than owners, because the one thing about owners, as Gold is pointing out, is signing bonuses require cash. Although you could
put an escrow.
Ask banks to do some of these things for you, but you have to pay a percentage or whatever. But it's a can't lose. You absolutely cannot lose money owning an NFL team. It's impossible.
Yeah,
I don't care how you run it. You can't do it.
Yeah, the only thing that comes up is the cash on hand. It came up with Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, with some of the deals. Like, do you have? Because if you sign someone to a $500 million contract, I believe you have to put a certain percentage in escrow. So you have to have the money. Like, even though if you're you have to actually have the cash. But if you're worth $4 billion, you're going to have no problem getting somebody. If you needed financing, you'll have no issue with that.
It'd be a good, sort of social experiment to see if somebody could lose money owning an NFL team.
It's with the TV deals, it is impossible.
It's just,
there's got to be a way.
Like,
you cannot tell me there is
setup,
no way.
Movie setup, it's like Brewster's Millions, but you have to run an NFL team for a loss. And it's going to be almost impossible.
Nick.
Like, I mean, legitimately, almost impossible.
From the 913, they said, answering Nick's question, I'm stoned right now. Still doesn't make any sense.
There we go. Okay.
Like, there's a salary cap. So, I mean, I can max that out. I can pay the worst player. So, I got to put together the worst team. So, I got to pay, Blake Bortles to be my starter next year at $85 million a year. And the rest of my roster is genuinely awful, full of, nobody. So, nobody wants to come to my game. But if you're too big of a laughingstock, do people come for the laughingstock? Look at this comedy show.
No.
Look at how ridiculous. Like, if they let a bunch of guys like us play, people might show up because for the 1 year, this is funny how bad they are. It's really hard to lose money.
You can't, though, because the TV deals are so massive that you're set already. Like, the TV, you're good.
The operating costs. It's almost impossible. You'd have to, take on really bad construction projects.
TV deals and the shared revenue on everything else. Like, yeah, that's why it's a great setup.
So it'd be a good investment.
Yeah, it would. Now,
if you've got the cash.
If you got the $5 billion or so,
laying around.
Few more years, Cody. Few more years.
Someone says, let the government run an NFL team. They'll lose money. They'll find a way. That's a solid joke there. Solid.
Nice political humor.
That's funny.
On a Tuesday.
That's funny. That's funny.
Well, how are you feeling politically?
How are your connections going? Are you guys still
in general?
In general, I'm feeling fine.
Who are you going to vote for?
Yeah, which side? You got to pick one side. One's got to go. Republicans, Democrats, go.
What do you tell us who you're voting for in the upcoming Kansas elections?
Yeah, I don't mean to get too personal, but...
You're just going to make me think of that Chappelle skit.
Well, you can't really tell that one.
No, nope, can't. That's it. If you know what I'm talking about, you will understand the reference that I am making. The end. I cannot tell you any more of this story, as every other part of this entire of that entire bit is inappropriate for the radio. So if you're interested, look that up, I guess. That's all I have for you. There's a couple of teams, obviously, we've been paying close attention to, and a couple of moves for the Royals that are going to be of note here moving forward. As a team right now, they're so bad. There's very few things that are going to interest you other than if they make moves. They are stuck right now with Brad Keller between two choices. And I'll tell you which one they should make. They should sign him to an extension. And they better do it soon. Because if you don't, and I asked J.J. Piccolo this earlier, and we'll hear from him in just a minute, for this reason. Not actively having this conversation with him is awfully interesting to me, because if I'm the Royals right now, I sign Brad Keller to an extension right now. For the very reason he pointed out. You need starting pitching. This is a fairly simple math on it. Enough of your starting young starter pitchers haven't come up and had success yet, which means you need successful starting pitching. Brad Keller's not that old and is successful. At 26 years old, most people think his contract would come in probably around that Ian Kennedy mark. $70, $80 million is not a lot of risk in Major League Baseball. You only have 1 year of arbability available. It's going to cost you quite a bit of money in that, based on the way his season's going. And your only two choices are do that or trade him. There's no point in just riding out the string here, seeing what next year brings. Give him a contract extension, and the sooner you do it, the better on both ends. Give him the contract extension before he's too expensive gold, or trade him while his value is at its absolute highest right now. So make it, you have to make a decision. Don't wait. Make a decision now.
No question. Yeah, you can't not decide one way or the other. Otherwise, you're left with nothing potentially at some point.
But make the decision now.
So.
It's not even just about it. It's doing it now, because his value is at its highest right now from the trade department. And his value as a pitcher is not going up or down significantly.
Like to me, it's like they don't actually have to make a decision until July 31st, as far as I'm concerned.
They should do it now. Technically, no, they don't have to make it until July 31st. But they should be making those decisions now.
Well, yeah, you can make the decision behind the scenes. In their mind, they probably have a pretty damn good idea whether or not they really ever want to extend him. They're not going to tell you that publicly, but one way or the other, they probably have a good idea. But they don't, like, you're acting like they have to trade him tomorrow if they don't sign today. They don't. They can wait till July. The trade market right this second and July 15th is not going to be worse for Brad Keller, as long as he's healthy.
Depends. But that's it. What if he's not healthy? What if he pitches poorly?
I know, but how many all trades happen in May, Cody, for a starting pitcher?
Not a ton, but you need to be the aggressor. The Royals have done what you've said too many times. Sat back, wait, let's wait. Oh, let's see. And then some guy gets hurt or performs poorly or the value's not as good. If you think you want to sign up to an extension, just give him a contract now.
What I am saying, they shouldn't do what they've done in the past, which is think that some certain guys can be part of their plan in 3 years. And we found out what has happened when they should have traded some of these guys that are currently on this roster a year or two ago. They've chosen not to. They should not repeat history in that regard. I'm just saying they don't have to trade Brad Keller in the next week if they're not going to give him a deal. If they're not going to get a long-term deal done with Brad Keller, then I am with you. You have to absolutely go the trade route at that point. I want Brad Keller on this team long-term. I would like Scott Barlow to still be on the team. But what's the smart route? I think the smart route might end up actually having to trade both those guys.
God, that would hurt. Like, at least with Barlow, you can ride that out for a while if you want. He's going to remain a dominant reliever.
You say all the time, and I'm with you.
You got 4 years of control with him, though.
You say it all the time, though. We're talking about value and peak and all that. Yeah. You know, bullpen arms can come and go very quickly.
Yes. I guess in Scott Barlow's sake, I think, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you that those guys can certainly revolve. Barlow looks just like he's the goods.
No, he is. No, he
he's 29, but he's the goods. And you're right. In the earlier part of his career, he wasn't that kind of pitcher. And now over the last 2 years, he's been dominant. So you're still riding the absolute trade peak of Scott Barlow, especially considering he's cheap and in control.
Yeah.
But at least I can have, like, let's say that the Royals' original plan is still good. And I don't know, in the next year, 2-3 years, they'll be a competitive,
playoff
contending team. I don't know,
we all agree it's not this year. And we probably all agree it's not next year. So is it 2 or 3 years, or are you thinking it's 4 or 5? Because there's a big difference between saying two more years. I know we said 2 more years 2 years ago. That's the problem. That's why
Better
the
heart, right? I mean, that's the conversation.
That's
to
the frustration.
Joke about the ticket. That's like,
by
I don't
the way,
know.
I will pick someone that texted in with their email address here. You have about 5 more minutes to get it in, and I'll just randomly pick someone and send them a pair of tickets. But yeah, I mean, I just think that's where the frustration is, because 2 years ago we were told that 2022, and then now we're talking about, well, is it 2024? Or do you think it's even longer? Like, I don't think it's, hey, they got to wait till 2026, but I also don't think it's next year either. Like, I think we're probably at 2024.
And that's why I'm saying just give Keller the extension now or move him now. I know trades don't happen in May very often, but starting pitching is an absolute need all across baseball, and you're not going to have a hard time finding a team. He's got 2 years of control, and someone will give him the money. If they don't, they'll happily trade for what it is. He is your most valuable commodity. He is a 26-year-old starting pitcher with 2 years of cheap control. I say just give him the extension. Give him the $80 million and keep Brad Keller here for the next 6 years, because, honestly, I've watched enough of your young pitchers come up, and I don't think you have all the solutions here right now. So
wouldn't that be the second largest contract in Royals history?
Who cares? They have the most sad amount of large contracts in team history and across all of baseball.
I understand that, but keep that in mind. Is that the guy that you think they're willing to give the second? I think it would be, right? The second largest?
History would tell you no, because they like paying guys that came up through their entire organization, not acquired via trade, and that they developed all the way from the beginning. In 5 years, Bobby Wood Jr. is going to be the highest paid player in franchise history anyway. Yeah. It's not going to last that long. And look at the guys you paid. You made Ian Kennedy the highest paid player in franchise history. At least Gordon, he's a legend. He's a hero. He's a team hero. Gil Mesh was once the highest paid player in this team's history. Jose Guillen's got one of the 10 richest contracts in this team's history. I don't care about, like, personally.
I know you don't, Cody. I'm talking about how do they view it. Is that what they're willing to do?
Keller's role model guy. He's a starting pitcher. He's 26. He's young. He's had all the success for you. Like, I mean, I don't know. What are you looking for? Stop trying to look for the perfect guy. Just pay people.
I know, but I mean, we're going to hear J.J. Piccolo, our conversation again coming up. But, I mean, as you pointed out, he basically said, yeah, there's not been any direct conversation with Brad Keller on an extension.
I'm not saying contracts couldn't go bad. I understand that. But it doesn't mean you can't avoid every long-term contract ever just because Marcus Semien stinks for the Rangers this year. And at least there was risk there. They gave him that money after he was like a great shortstop out of nowhere. By the way, he was like a perfectly average guy for a long time. And then had a couple of great years. And then they gave him $175 million at age 31. No one made you do that. Like, yeah, there are bad contracts, but there's a lot less risk. If Brad Keller got $80 million and continued to pitch like a league average pitcher, that contract would be inherently tradable for years. Years and years and years, because it's not taking on that much money for an MLB team.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending and our conversation with the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo. And he did tell us that at this point in time, when it comes to the goals for the season, they have reevaluated those.
You're listening to Cody and Gold.
I'm not interested either. That's more just, I don't want to put a foot in my mouth.
610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there
there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, the Royals in action again tonight, trying to avoid their sixth straight loss. They wrap up the quick two-game series in Arizona against the D-backs. 8:40, first pitch right here on 610 Sports Radio. It'll be Jonathan Heasley on the bump. But the Royals now 13 games under 500. Yikes.
Is that bad?
Yes, yes, yes it is, Cody.
That game last night, doubly frustrating because of the way the game right before it went. People lose games in which they have four-run leads in the first inning. But, of course, they immediately gave up the lead. It's the worst start of the season for Zach Greinke. Completely fall apart. Can't even be excited about the three-home run inning you got in the very first on the road. Only to do that, of course. Of course, of course, of course. It's exactly how you'd expect it to go. Next up on What's Trending, the NFL. A couple of things happening right now. As of right now, Darrell Williams, no longer a member of the Chiefs, currently signed a deal to go with the Arizona Cardinals. That'll be a pretty good backfield with Connor and Williams. I imagine Williams' role will be very similar to what it was this year. You're the number two, unless somebody gets hurt, and then we feel pretty good about the guy we have behind there. I was a little surprised he hadn't been signed yet, considering he's coming off 1,000 all-purpose yards. But it's a running back. It's the NFL. I really felt like the Chiefs got out at the right time, maximized his value in their offense, and now they'll try to go younger at that position. Clyde, again, they'll hope stays healthy this year, and then adding in Ronald Jones. We know how running back works. They don't last that long with your team before they end up somewhere else. James Conner, another good example of that for Arizona.
Yeah, this is why when you draft a running back in the first round, there's a lot of pushback on it. This is why you should never give a huge contract to a running back, because there's always options out there when it comes to running back and the shelf life. We've always talked about that as well. Next up on What's Trending, couple changes for the NFL, perhaps on the Pro Bowl route. The NFL reportedly considering eliminating the Pro Bowl game and having more of a showcase on that Sunday. You pulled up the ratings, though. They still had over 6 million people that watched.
Same amount of people who watched Mavs Warriors two nights ago.
So people are still watching the Pro Bowl, but I think it's been probably the last 10 years. Everybody every year has said, oh, the Pro Bowl stinks. Is this the year they finally make a change? We'll find out. We know they're not changing where the scouting combine is, though. The scouting combine will stay in Indianapolis for the next 2 years. There was some talk that they were going to consider rotating it around to other cities. Still might happen, but at least for the next 2 years, the combine is going to stay in Indy.
Quick question for those of you who watch the Pro Bowl. Are you okay? Do you need help? Are you all right? Don't watch that product. Lastly on What's Trending, NBA action tonight. It'll be Warriors and Mavs with a chance to wrap up that series for the sweep for Golden State. The Mavs have gotten close in first halves of those games, but it's been pretty clearly in favor of one side. Last night's action, the Celtics beat the Heat 102-82. That series tied at two games apiece with four completely not close games. So it's been not a particular, as good as the previous rounds of the NBA playoffs have been, the Western and Eastern Conference Finals have stunk so far. Stunk. Not a single close game in the bunch.
Kind of weird. I think Mavericks win tonight and avoid the full-on sweep. They're obviously not coming back from down 3-0, but I think Luka and the Mavs win tonight. Get it to 3-1, and
Warriors
then the
take
Warriors
that day off game. Like
gentlemen's. I think we're headed to a gentleman's sweep in the Western Conference Finals. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Earlier today, we caught up with the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo. Of course, a lot of things to get to. We did start off joking about pickleball because we told you about the story of the mayor of Mission Woods is suing Mission Hills Country Club because he says the noise near his home from the pickleball court is too much. So we started off asking JJ Piccolo if he's ever played pickleball.
I've not played pickleball, but it's kind of ironic you're saying that, because that's the second time in about 3 days I've heard of a noise complaint with pickleball. So
what was the other time? Was it somebody in your neighborhood?
It was actually back. My parents are in New Jersey, and they play pickleball, and the court they played on was shut down because neighbors complained of noise. So it's kind of odd you said that.
Wow, so this
they're
is
taking
a thing.
Away your parents' leisure activity. That seems unkind, JJ.
Yeah. I guess there's not a whole lot we can do, though. So the court shut down. They'll have to figure something else out.
I feel like that's something like, I don't know why. I guess I just assumed you played like tennis or pickleball, or it just seemed like you seem like the kind of person who wants to stay active, but maybe not just like, you know, run on a treadmill.
Yeah, no, my thing is biking, Peloton biking. So that's what I try to do to stay active.
JJ, on the field, we know the team right now around the 40-game mark. When you see how the first 41 games have gone, do you guys alter where you're at short-term and long-term when it comes to goals?
Yeah, I think we've always got to look at that. Certainly the first 40 games have not gone the way we anticipated. So, you know, there's some young guys that are on the field a little bit more than they were earlier in this year. We'll continue to look at that and other players. But, you know, we have to keep grinding it out. There's something to be said for winning games, and you want to put the team in the best position to win. You know, because we have young players on the field doesn't mean that we're necessarily in a rebuild, but we are young. You know, we are young, and we have to recognize where we are. As I said last week when we were on the show with each other, you know, right now I think if there's some saving grace, our division, you know, the Twins are playing really well and the other teams aren't. You know, so, you know, we want players coming to the field with the intention to win a game every night. You know, development's part of it, but we really believe that development really happens, you know, from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock prior to the game. And then the game competition needs to be part of development as well. And that also includes winning. So we want to keep our eyes on trying to win games and put the best team out there that we can.
I assume that means that it makes it difficult when you start having those conversations earlier in the season you want, but are you guys already discussing the possibility of trades?
Well, yeah, I mean, we do. I mean, that's nonstop though. That's I don't think it's necessarily a May 15th, a May 30th, or necessarily a July 31st thing. You know, you're keeping an eye on what clubs are doing, injuries that they suffer, where we may have fits. That's the main focus of our pro department. Our R&D department does a great job keeping us informed on what they think may be happening with other clubs. You don't see a whole lot of trades being made prior to the trading deadline, but once in a while you do. And, you know, if there's an opportunity for us to get better, then we'll jump on it. But right now that hasn't presented itself, but we'll keep working at it, looking at it, and see where it takes us.
With a guy like Brad Keller, JJ, do you find yourself in the conversation of, hey, we got to look for possible partners for a guy like that, or we need to start talking long-term extension? Has an extension talks come up at all with Brad?
We haven't talked extension with Brad directly. You know, internally we do have those discussions. You know, what's the best route for us? You know, Brad's having a great year. There's going to be interest in him. We also have a need for starting pitching. You know, so it's that balance of, is this the right time? Is he the right person? Do we need him long term? And there are things we'll have to determine as we get closer to the deadline, what direction we're going to go.
We're talking to the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo. He joins us here on 610 Sports Radio. I know there's a lot of fans that said, I haven't heard from owner John Sherman at this point. How much conversation have you had and Dayton had with him on the current state of the organization? How frequent are those discussions and what are they like?
Well, Dayton and John speak daily, and then Dayton informs me on what the discussions have been, what his thoughts are. But, you know, they discuss things daily. Obviously, he's on top of what's going on, and, you know, Dayton knows what's going on day to day. So those discussions happen very frequently, and they'll continue to happen.
2 years ago, JJ, if you guys were looking kind of like ahead in time, where did you guys think you are or where you were going to be versus not? I guess it's like, did you think that this was going to be the year you would be contending for playoff spots 2 years ago?
Well, I think we looked at this year a lot like, you know, going from 2012 into 2013, where you want to be more competitive, you want to win games, you want to be in some sort of race, you want to be in a, you know, whether it's a wild card or the divisional title. So, you know, we still view it that way. You know, we have to make strides as an organization. We have to make strides with individual players to put ourselves in a position to compete at a higher level. So we still look at it like we're in more so in that phase, somewhere between 12 and 13. We still have guys that are going to be on this major league team that are in the minor leagues. I think 2013, just about everybody that was going to be part of a championship type of run was already up. Maybe with the exception of Yordano Ventura, I think maybe he came up later in 13. But the guys that were on the field, in 14 and 15 were all on the field in 13, and we're just not quite there yet. There's some guys that we feel need more time in the minor leagues. We're going to give them that time. And once we get them all on the field, I think it'll more closely resemble to what it did at the end of 2013 and then headed into 14.
JJ, is there frustration? I think you and I talked about this on the side, but like, there's got to be some frustration, right, of trying to guess when somebody's ready from AAA, at least from an organizational perspective, because you said how difficult that jump is now from AAA to the majors than it's ever been.
Yeah, it's always been difficult because you just don't know how a player is going to respond when they get to the major leagues. But for whatever reason right now, it's become even more challenging. We don't think essentially what's happening is the veteran player, the 32 to 35-year-old player that may be in AAA that still can help a major league team for a month or so, there's fewer players like that. So the young hitters don't face the veteran pitching that you would typically see in AAA and vice versa. So there's that gap is greater. But then you look at a situation like an MJ Melendez. The story's far from written, but MJ was not swinging the bat particularly well, but because he's on the roster, we do believe in him as a player. Because of an injury, MJ gets a chance to come up, and MJ's competing really well. So, that's why it's really difficult to try to figure out exactly when a player is ready to compete in the major leagues at a good enough level that they're not defeated and they lose confidence.
Last week when we had you on, JJ, I think it was just a day or so after Salvi was placed on the IL. Does he continue to be on the right track, though, to hopefully be in that 10 to 14-day timeline again?
Yes, he is. He's not on the trip right now. He stayed back to continue his rehab. He's working with Jeff Blum, our PT. He'll get the work in that he needs, and hopefully the next homestand, somewhere in that homestand, he can get back on the field. I know one thing is Salvi's going to push it. At day 10, he's going to want to play, and we're just going to have to determine whether or not he's ready to play at that time. But we do think it's more of like a 14-day thing just because of the injury. It's his left thumb. I mean, that's 150 pitches a night he's catching, and, that's his bottom hand as a hitter. So there's a lot of wear and tear on that thumb. We got to make sure that it's completely healthy before we put him back in the lineup.
Speaking of Royal General Manager J.J. Piccolo here on Cody and Gold, some of the guys you'd mentioned that might be on future contending teams for the Royals, I assume are names you get asked about a lot because we get asked about them a lot. Nick Prado and Vinny Pasquantino, as far as their readiness for the majors, what kind of timeline does the organization see for both of those guys to get to the bigs?
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna eye this year at some point, but we do have to feel confident that they're completely ready for it. Nick is on the roster, so he's less complicated than Vinny Pasquantino. We certainly wouldn't let the roster situation, dictate whether Vinny comes up or not. But with Nick being on the roster, it is a little bit easier transactionally. They're both playing well. They're different types of hitters. Nick's gonna provide some slug and maybe a few more homers. There are some things we still feel like he needs to improve on. Vinny is more of a, he's unbelievable with his strikeouts to walk ratio, especially considering how big of a guy he is. He tends to use the whole field really, really well. So there's a lot of good things that he's doing. We have to remind ourselves that, this is his first year in AAA and he only had half a year in AA. And then going back and piecing together what we just talked about a few minutes ago, the level of competition. So trying to balance those evaluations is a little bit tricky, but they are two guys that we expect to help our club, in the near future. We just don't have a target date that we want them up this date or that date. We just let it play out.
JJ Piccolo, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, kind enough as always to join us here on 610 Sports Radio. Thanks as always for the time.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
So that was our earlier conversation today with J.J. Piccolo, the GM of the Royals. The last part there, we were, of course, the names that everybody's been kind of keyed in on in the lower levels, Nick Prado, and as you asked about Vinny Pasquantino as well. I think, at least for me, how I interpreted that answer and then also knowing what we've also discussed between you and I on air when it comes to potential trade guys that they could actually trade, some of those, in, you know, that are blocking, the, you know, I think that won't get resolved. I don't expect to see Vinny Pasquantino until closer to when they've potentially traded away a few pieces to clear the deck a little bit.
Well, because they need room on the 40.
Yes. Yep.
Right? It's a lot easier when some of those guys start going.
And he, look, JJ just, you know, you heard him. He acknowledged that it's a little bit easier to navigate Nick Prado. Now he said, look, if we're not, you know, if Vinny is good to go, we're not going to use that as the only reason why. But I'm not expecting either of those guys to be up here pretty quick. Are you? I'm not expecting in the
July.
Next few weeks. Yeah, I'm not expecting, oh yeah, in a couple weeks. No, I think it's going to be
post-trade deadline when a lot of this has been cleared out.
Some guys have to be moved on from, right? There's going to have to be some trades. And as you pointed out as well, not just trades, but maybe it's the Santana decisions or the Ryan O'Hearn decisions. Although, I mean, it seems like the Royals, with how much they're continuing to play Carlos Santana, who did have a couple hits last night, that they're hoping that they can increase his value a little bit.
Still
by
playing. They're going to play him every day because they're going to hope they get some trade value out of him. And people I've talked to, there's still a lot of concerns, and you can hear them just briefly say about some of the holes in Prado's game. Like, I'm not sure he's just going to jump up and play. Pasquantino, they just don't have enough evidence. They just don't know how good he is if he's just dominating inferior AAA. Of all the things that happened last night, those three home runs, I somehow missed maybe the most interesting story of all of it until somebody sent it to me last night. So Zach Davies, a starter for the Diamondbacks last night, takes that liner off the leg from Bobby Wood Jr., looks miserable, I'd want to die. Yeah. And I had simply sent on a tweet that it said, "Ooh, hope Davies is okay. That doesn't look good." To which this story was responded to me, and I can't believe I somehow missed it in Major League Baseball because it's insane. Zach Davies, the starter for the Diamondbacks last night, just recently had divorce papers signed from his wife, who he ghosted. And not kind of. They were together. She was out of state. He sent her a text at 6 a.m., says it's over. Mm-hmm. He then blocks her number and has not spoken a single word to her since.
MIA every day since.
So for a whole year, these two people haven't spoken to each other after being married for 5 years. He just turned off his phone, essentially, and ignored her. How is this possible?
It's amazing.
How does this even happen?
This won't surprise you. She alleges, and it's, you know, he was having an affair. Shocking, I know, considering how it played out. But yeah, how does that work? You met that person's family. You were married for 5 years. They don't have any kids together, correct? Fortunately, in this scenario.
Correct.
Thank goodness.
Lorenzo Cain's wife's at her, Senator Tweezy, or on Instagram being like, "It's okay," because they were teammates during that time. Yeah. You're like, it's so awkward.
Well, it's awkward, but also like, how do you, I just can't get, you're married to someone for 5 years, and then one morning you send a goodbye text, you block the person, and you never, ever say anything again.
They don't have kids, like, but still.
Well, thank goodness they didn't have kids.
Just break up.
Yeah. It's mind-boggling. So this guy pitches. We looked it up. He's, made $18 million in his career?
Yeah, roughly.
Like, what is that? Yeah, you were saying, what does it mean for his future, like, relationship? Someone's going to ask about this. Yeah, but I think we know, like, he's a baseball player. He's made $18 million. Someone's going to forgive him or overlook what he did to somebody else prior. We've seen that happen before.
She's accused him of cheating and that he's guilty of it, right? That's part of maybe what happened here, but I just, like, how do you get it in your brain that that's how you're going to end it? That's how you end it would be weird if you ended a 2-month relationship that way. Yes. If you just at 6 a.m. said, "It's over," blocked their number, and never said another word to them. If you had been a boyfriend and girlfriend for 2 months.
Yeah, look, I mean,
married for 5 years.
Yeah,
and you're just like, we're done.
Like you said, even in a short-term relationship, you owe the person to speak in person. I just broke up with my girlfriend not too long ago, a couple weeks ago.
You had an in-person a 6 a.m. text that said it's over?
We had an in-person conversation. This is 5 years. So, yes, I'm with you when it comes to that as well.
I can't. I just, the more I saw this story, the more I was infinitely fascinated that this was even like something somebody would ever do. I can't even comprehend the brain, like how you come to the conclusion that this is how you're going to end it. And was that your plan from the beginning? Was your plan, Zach, to block her number and never speak to her ever again? How did you think you were gonna get divorced? And yeah, then look, they successfully right. have. I hope she got. I hope she got a chunk. I hope she got.
Yeah,
some,
text
I hope
line's
she got
right.
a piece of that pie.
Text line's right. I'll say what we're all thinking. He's a chicken bleep. Yeah, I mean that's, yes. that's basically what happened.
Oh, cowardly.
Yeah, I mean that's what totally happened.
He cheated on her. He didn't want to have the conversation about cheating on her. So instead, yeah. he just blocked her number and hopes to never speak to her again. What about her family? Her friend, you think you're just going to never run into these people? Teammates.
Well, that's, yeah.
You might play with another teammate whose wife was friend with your wife. All the people, like the people who stood up for her, it was like Casey Hosmer, ex-teammate, right? They both played on the Padres together. Hosmer and Davies used to play there. Brewers, right? Lorenzo Cain. This is all the Kansas City connection, so it's even more
that's
fascinating.
That's what's weird.
They played together in Milwaukee, right? So their wives, like, you think you're never going to have your 29 years old. You've been in baseball for 6 years. You think you're never going to play with another teammate who might be interested in this? How, by the way, here's the other thing is I guess I'm really in Kansas City. If this happened, do you think they'd get asked about it? I don't want to name a particular player because then that's like painting them. But like if there was a member of the Kansas City Royals who did this, how often do you think would they ever get asked about it? Yes. Right.
Not
you just left
yeah.
your wife.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be you'd have to, I feel like you'd have to ask. You'd have to ask. Now, someone's right.
The final
At least
word.
It didn't go down like the Ben Zobrist situation. At least they didn't try to work it out through the pastor.
At least your marriage counseling. Is that worse?
Marriage counseling advice, and it turns out that was the individual that she was cheating on.
I'd rather they just cheat on me and then ignore me for the rest of life than the way it went down.
Yeah, that's
fair.
That,
but both are bad.
Ben Zobrist thing is an all-timer.
This one's pretty high on my list. I don't think I'm ever going to forget Zach Davies just one day texted his wife at 6 a.m. and said, it's over, blocked her number, and never spoke another word to her ever again.
So was it weird watching him pitch the rest of the game once you knew that information? Like,
yeah,
did you look at, did you look at the game?
Well,
a
he got out.
Different?
He got knocked out. They went to the bullpen. That was
but
the
like,
end.
But, like, did you look at even how the game
I went way
gone?
Down the rabbit hole. I was fascinated by this story. I was trying to figure out how long they've been together. I wanted to know every part of it.
We're back at it tomorrow from 10 to 2. The Drive with C-Dot and Rob up next here on 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.